He's our fiscal watchdog. Connecticut State Comptroller Sean Scanlon joins Melissa in the morning now on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Comptroller Sean Scanlon, I tell you, coming on right after a holiday, I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good, Melissa. Happy 4th.
Hey, you too. I know, right? I'm with you. It's good. People have been celebrating the 4th all week, so it's fine. I think we're allowed to say it up until like Sunday night. I think that's right. Okay, cool. I'm glad we're on the same page there. I do want to say I was glad that you could do a quick turnaround and come on this week because we actually have a pretty big economic update. It came out Monday with some potentially good signs as we look into a new fiscal year. Of course, July 1st being the marking of that beginning. Tell us what came out of this and what do people need to know if they missed it earlier this week?
Well, yeah, so July 1st is the first day of a new fiscal year. We run our years in our state from June 30th to July 1st. And so we ended the last fiscal year on June 30th with a surplus. And that's the seventh consecutive time that we've ended a fiscal year with a surplus, which I think is one of the big signs that indicate that we have a lot of progress in turning our fiscal house around. And, you know, we are also on course, as I reported on the 1st, to put down another $1 billion of debt later this year. So by those two metrics and a number of others, we continue to make a lot of fiscal progress. We're not out of the woods yet, but it was a good couple statistics to report last week.
So, Comptroller Scanlon, I remember when you and I were talking about this. Oh, gosh, I can't even keep track of when we had this conversation, but I know we have talked about it. You're never going to please everybody, right? I mean, that's with anything in life. And I know there's always debate around when you hear that we are in the green, we're in the plus, we're doing good. I mean, we have so much money that's been saved up that, man, it's crazy. And you'll have people who say, well, why do we save all that money? Why do we do that when we know that there is no affordable housing, when we know that people are spending more money on their groceries, when we know, for example, this year we're going to basically use up every last dollar possible from the American Rescue Plan to help our schools out, but then we don't know what's going to happen next year. You know, what do you say to the people who feel like, okay, great, I'm glad to hear that 7 years in a row we're in the plus column, but we could be using our money to help out people struggling? Like I said, there's no perfect right answer. There's always going to be people who are upset. But what do you say to the people who feel that way?
Well, I'd say we're already doing that, right? Last year, because of our financial turnaround, the governor and the legislature passed the biggest tax cut in the history of our state that took effect on January 1 of this year. They've made record investments in things like higher education and housing and aid to our municipalities. And so there has been a lot of, money that we have done to try to, serve the people of Connecticut while also paying down our debt and making sure that the millstone that is hanging around our neck, which is 70 plus years of unfunded debt, that the debt payments were becoming larger and larger percentages of our budget and therefore hindering our ability to sort of meet the needs of today. We're getting that off the books and we're getting that off our neck. And that to me is something that allows us to move forward as a state and will leave a better state for my kids than the one that I inherited. This year alone, Melissa, because of those overage debt payments that we're paying, we freed up $650 million in our budget that were used for things like schools and, aid to the people that you're talking about. Can we find a better balance going forward? Yes, and we're certainly looking at that. But I don't think anybody listening should be under the impression that we're simply paying off debt and living in austerity government times. We're finding a balance to do both, and I think that we will continue to do that going forward.
Well, and again, it's a tough job, and it's a tough balance to strike, if you will. And I'm sure Comptroller Scanlon obviously knows this better than I certainly do. I don't handle the finances other than my own household. But when you look at this, the idea of like the need is right here and it's great right now, and we need to invest everything we have in it. However, that's exactly why we're in the situation we're in, is because we basically ignored it for so long, or we didn't act accordingly for so long. So you sort of sometimes have to clean up the mess in order to, in the long term, have a better financial future. And unfortunately, we're sort of in those years right now. But that's kind of right. Like, I mean, you're kind of in that situation of, okay, well, we could fix what's going on right now, you know, to the fullest. But then we're just going to keep kind of chasing our tail and ending up in the same, you know, cycle if we don't clean up our mess, essentially.
Yeah, look, and paying off debt and putting money in our rainy day fund is not fun, right? Nobody is winning elections because of that strategy, right? They win elections because they make big promises and they say they want to tackle all these problems that people are experiencing in their day-to-day lives. Most people, except for those that have sort of economic security, you know, don't spend their whole day thinking about our debt payments and things like that, right? And so that's why I think the Democrats have, like I said, found that right balance between, look, we're taking care of these long-term needs that nobody else ever wanted to take care of, and we're also meeting the needs of today. And if we go back on, you know, backsliding into the days where we sort of looked the other way from our debt and we kicked the can, yeah, it might be more popular to sort of put all that money towards new programs and new spending, but it's going to end up biting us in the long run, because we're going to be right back where we were when I first got elected to the legislature in 2014, where we had persistent budget deficits. The governor of the time, Dan Malloy, his own budget guy, said we were in the midst of a permanent fiscal crisis. We had record deficits. We had to raise taxes multiple times. They cut spending to the bone in the 2010s. I don't want to go back there. And so, yeah, you know, the grass is always greener. We live in a very sky is falling world. So I put out a thing saying we've had 7 consecutive years of budget surpluses and people are attacking us for that. If I had said we had 7 consecutive years of deficits, they'd be attacking us for that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I think the people of Connecticut know we have found the good balance. We continue to strive to pay down the problems of the past and meet the needs of the future and the today. And I think we're doing an okay job. We got more work to do.
And another thing too, Comptroller, just to kind of piggyback what you were saying about what state Democrats have kind of decided to invest in the majority here in Connecticut. I will say also kudos to, I think, state Republicans for aligning with something you've been saying as well, which is to keep our fiscal guardrails in place, because those were certainly at risk as well during the regular session this year.
Yeah, and credit does belong to them, because we wouldn't have the guardrails if it wasn't for the bipartisan budget we had in 2017. So I certainly don't want to minimize their involvement in that. But there are voices on both sides right now, the Democrats and the Republicans, who think, you know, can we loosen those up a little bit? And I understand that. And it's something that I think we do need to have a conversation about. They've been working for the first couple of years, but the world is quite different today than it was when we first instituted these in 2017. Nobody is saying we should completely get rid of them, but there are people who are saying we should tweak them. And I think that that's going to be a topic of conversation in the next legislative session. But at this time, I think we need to recognize that we've come a long way. 7 consecutive surpluses, almost $8 billion of debt paid down, a record rainy day fund, a huge tax cut, big investments. Things are going in the right direction. We just got to keep that going, and hopefully that is something we can do on a bipartisan basis.
We have Comptroller Sean Scanlon here for a few more minutes, and we were just right before the break talking about keeping our eye on the next legislative session. I know that probably sounds crazy because we just wrapped up our previous session in May, and we just had a special session last week, so people might be on the summer vacation train right now, which is perfectly fine, but we got to keep our eyes on the future. And so we were just talking, Comptroller Scanlon, about, you know, maybe potentially adapting or adjusting a little bit the original 2017 fiscal guardrails to better serve our state. And I was curious if you could give some specifics or things that you're already thinking about right now with that.
Well, again, I'm not thinking about it a lot because I think they're working and I think that they should continue to work. And I think there's broad agreement that they're working. There's a question of, are we perhaps saving too much? As we've talked about before, Melissa, but as a reminder to your listeners, right, there's something called the volatility cap within the guardrails that basically takes all the very volatile tax revenue we get from people who live in Fairfield County but work in Manhattan on the stock market or associated with Wall Street, And we take all that money and basically only use it for two things, which is to build up our rainy day fund or to pay down that long-term debt. And the focus of this debate is sort of, are we taking too much of that money and putting it aside? And so that'll be the topic of conversation going forward. And there are some early conversations having, but at this point, Melissa, what I think I hope folks know is that we've gotten Connecticut in a better place because of this. We're still able to meet the needs of the moment, again, because of things like the fact that we've paid down all that debt means there's $650 million more money we can use for, you know, stuff in our day-to-day budget. But this certainly will be probably a topic of conversation going forward.
And I really quickly, Comptroller Scanlon, again, I appreciate that you were willing to come on the day after a holiday, so kudos to you. I did want to ask really quickly, this was something that came up in the news last month, and I was personally very curious about this. I'm not sure if you can comment on all at it. If you can comment on it at all. There you go. Words work. Okay. I had seen that Governor Lamont wanted to put a pause on part of the cannabis program here in Connecticut. I saw your name kind of listed in that, and I wasn't sure if you could talk at all about, you know, even just your power to audit state agencies and bodies, if you could talk at all about this investigation.
Yeah, so the governor asked me to do an investigation audit of the Social Equity Council. And for those of your listeners who are wondering what that is essentially the body that is empowered once we pass the legalization of marijuana to both grant licenses to people who want to sell it and to determine where a portion of the money that's collected from the sale of cannabis goes to sort of reinvest in communities that were harmed by the war on drugs. And there have been some questions lately about the board and its work and, whether they're in compliance with various laws and doing the right thing with that money. And the governor has asked me to do an audit of that council, and we are doing that. I can't really say more than that because it's an ongoing audit that we're doing, but I will say that it's important that we do this, and I think it's an important role that my office plays to do things like this because, I am the fiscal watchdog. I take that responsibility very, very seriously, and we should never be not looking at whether or not we're spending the taxpayer dollars wisely and justly, and this is an example of what we do every day, which is to make sure of that fact.
And I would imagine there's no timeline on when this could be complete.
Well, listen, we're going to take our time with this. This is not something that I think needs to be rushed. We have some really smart auditors and accountants from our team kind of going through everything. And, we're going to get to the bottom of what may or may not be going on there and come out when we're ready to come out with our findings. At the end of the day, we want to make sure that this process is working and that the public can have confidence in this process. And I think that's a good thing for us to always be doing. And that's what we're doing here.
Well, Comptroller, when the findings come out, whenever that is, we'd love to obviously have you back on the show to talk about that and kind of break it down for us. But we always appreciate whenever we can have you on to talk about, to me, could be very complicated matters, but have a direct impact on the average Connecticut resident. And so I appreciate you being willing to come on WICC, and I look forward to the next time having you on.
Of course. Talk to you, Melissa.
Yeah, you too. Comptroller Sean Scanlon here on WICC.